Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
You don't want to miss these early beginnings, because in this episode, we discuss the establishment of the New York Giants and the Detroit Panthers into the NFL, and the Seattle Seahawks' first live action, as well as birthdays of notable Hall of Fame players, coaches, and more, coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we are podcasting from America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So in taking the snap from the sportshistorynetwork.com and handing off to pigskindispatch.com, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends, and welcome to the Pigpen. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, your portal to positive football history, and the Sports History Network, your headquarters of sports yesteryear. And we are sure glad that you joined us once again, because we have a great, exciting show. We are going to show you and tell you about some beginnings of early NFL franchises, and even a more modern franchise getting their feet wet for the first time. So this is August 1st edition, and we're going to go over all the day's events in football history that we can find for August 1st. And we're going to start off in 1925. The Detroit Panthers franchise is accepted into the NFL and plays into the league during the 1925 and 1926 seasons. According to the American Football Database, the Panthers were the second franchise to try and make a go of it in the Motor City, the first being the Herald's Tigers team in the early 1920s. The Panthers, they were pieced together by future Hall of Famer Jimmy Konzelman. Konzelman was a quarterback who formerly played with the Decatur Staleys, Rock Island Independents, and the Milwaukee Badgers. Jimmy C wore many hats on his team, serving as the team's owner, their coach, and their starting QB. He built the squad around a strong defense, and it seemed to work too, as the Panthers jumped out to start the season with an 8-1 record. However, late in the season, a 6-3 upset loss to Rock Island on Thanksgiving Day knocked the Panthers out of first place, and they ended the season all the way down in third place. Detroit put hope in expounding upon their 1925 success. However, they started off in 1926 season poorly, had an 0-3 record. Then they rallied with 4 wins, 0 losses, and 2 ties in their next 6 games. But then they lost their last 3. Konzelman sort of gave up on the franchise and then joined the Providence Steamroller as a player coach. He would later go on to win NFL championships with Providence in 1928 and then coach the Chicago Cardinals to an NFL title in 1947. Well, there was another team on August 1st, 1925 that had their start in the NFL, and that was the New York Giants franchise, as they formed and started their long, rich history in the NFL. As we discussed a few days ago on July 29th, Tim Mara founded the Giants organization when, on advice from the then NFL president, Joe Carr, Mara bet on the NFL with a $500 bill of his own money to fund the New York Football Giants, and later infused another $25,000 to ensure its survival. The gamble paid off for Mara, as he went and watched his investment pay off, according to the ProFootballHOF.com website. It was a wise investment indeed, as in December of the first season, more than 70,000 onlookers turned out at the Polo Grounds to see the Giants play the Chicago Bears, who had just signed Illinois college sensation Red Grange, the most famous player in pro football of the 1920s. The franchise, since then, has seen 4 NFL championships, 1927, 1934, 1938, and 1956, and 4 Super Bowl victories, Super Bowl 21 in 1986, Super Bowl 25 in 1990, Super Bowl 47 in 2007, and Super Bowl 46 in 2011. August 1st, 1969, the 36th annual Chicago Charities College All-Star Game took place, and the New York Jets won 26-24 over the College Stars before a crowd of 74,208. The MVP award, always given to the college player team, happened to be Greg Cook, the quarterback from the University of Cincinnati. August 1st, 1975, the 41st Chicago Charities All-Star Game took place, and the Steelers of Pittsburgh won 21-14 as a crowd of 54,103 watches. Note, there was not an MVP nominated in this 1975 or the final game in 1976. August 1st, 1976, the Seattle Seahawks take the field for the very first time in history in a preseason game against the San Francisco 49ers in the brand new Seattle Kingdom. You can learn more about the Kingdom and its plight on our July 23rd edition of the series. August 1st, 1987, Arena Bowl I in Pittsburgh's Civic Arena was played when the Denver Dynamite defeated the Pittsburgh Gladiators 45-16. Gary Mullen was the most valuable player of that game. Well, the SEC, they added another school on August 1st, 1990. That Southeastern Conference, well, they welcomed the University of Arkansas into their Conference of Collegiate Athletics. The Razorbacks officially entered the SEC July 1st, 1991, along with the University of South Carolina, according to the SEC's official website. They completed their first year of complete competition in the SEC in the 1991-1992 school year. August 1st, 2002, the Baltimore Ravens signed Ray Lewis, their great middle linebacker, at the time to the largest signing bonus in history of $19 million when he inked his new five-year contract. Good investment there. Now let's take a moment to hear a message from our sponsor, Row One Brand. At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One Gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One Shop, check out the thousands more of unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items, plus get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes. Telling you, great products at Row One Brand, that Pictorum Gallery. Man, I just drool every time I look at some of that great artwork they have, getting some of those big framed sports tickets from yesteryear on the wall. You can't beat that. So let's go to our Hall of Fame birthdays for this August 1st, 1929, Beaver, Pennsylvania. Joe Palumbo, he was a guard out of the University of Virginia and played there from 1948 through 1951, and he's heralded in the College Football Hall of Fame. The National Football Foundation has a really nice biography sketch of Joe where they say in 1951, Palumbo earned All-American honors. The Touchdown Club of Washington, D.C. gave him the Outstanding Defensive Lineman of the Year award also that same year, and he was named the Athlete of the Year in the state of Virginia. Mr. Palumbo can also be found enshrined in the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame. August 1st, 1978, in Mokelee, Florida, Edgerrin James, the Pro Football Hall of Fame running back of the Indianapolis Colts and later the Arizona Cardinals, was born. Edgerrin attended and played football for the Miami Hurricanes, enjoying a stellar collegiate career. It was when he was picked up by the Colts, though, in the 1999 NFL Draft, that this young runner really found his groove, though, according to the ProFootballHOF.com. Edge, he earned the NFL Rookie of the Year honors in 1999 when he rushed for 1,553 yards, leading all runners in the league. He accomplished winning the NFL rushing title again in year 2000 with 1,709 yards on the ground, matching his touchdown scored in 1999 at 13 times in each year, crossing that wide field stripe at the end. In fact, During his 11-year career, James blasted past the 1,000-yard rushing mark an amazing 7 times and edging past 1,500 in 4 of those. For his career, he recorded 12,246 yards rushing with 80 touchdowns. And he played in 4 Pro Bowls and is honored to be one of the all-2000s NFL team. Let's not forget that he also hauled in 433 catches, many from Hall of Fame quarterbacks Peyton Manning and Kurt Warner, for an additional 3,364 yards of offense. Now, we want to thank today Bill Schaefer, Tim Brule, and the guys at the Gridiron Uniform Database for the use of their great uniform graphics that we have on today's August 1st segment. You can check it out. We have those Detroit Panther uniforms, and we're going to be using them. We've used them in the past, and they're letting us borrow these graphics just to show you how good of the uniform research that they've done, and takes you back into that day. Just a great picture in your mind as you're reading about these stories and hearing them on the podcast. So make sure you give them a little love at the Gridiron Uniform Database, gridiron-uniforms.com. We have a bunch of links on our website that you can check out for our August 1st edition. Also, please visit sportshistorynetwork.com. Check out all my partners over there that have some great podcasts on sports history. And of course, our website, pigskindispatch.com, your portal to positive football history. All of our blogs and podcasts for Pigskin Dispatch on football history are on pigskindispatch.com. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.